This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710. Beautiful, perfect day for baseball out here. Not a cloud in the sky, not too hot, not cold. It's just perfect. This is absolutely beautiful out here.
Yes, it is. And we're sitting up in the booth next to the Randy Adamack press box. Guess who's walking out on the field? Perry Hill. He's got a big bag of baseballs. And he's got a container there. But the thing we hear about number one defense in all of baseball is that they every day are out there practicing. And Perry's out there, and you know this guy, so much praise for him, and it's all warranted because of you know what he has done with this. And every just ask JP, ask Suarez, Frazier, anybody that's playing in the infield. Ty France, how much he helped him. So, yeah, and that's just no big mystery or, you know, secret. I mean, look, I know that he is all about your footwork and everything, and I'm sure he concentrates on that and everything. But more than anything, it's just the repetition of just doing it every single day. And I've been so impressed by, especially when things break down and, like, there's a rundown. And we've seen that a couple of times this year. And, you know, one of them was bad base running by the Yankees, but that could have gone the wrong way if you weren't in the right position. And then we saw him against the Nationals, I think it was, where JP came running towards the base runner and he tried to get back to third and tagged him out. So they just know exactly what they're supposed to do at all times. And I'll tell you what, you got to be really heads up out there, you know, as far as the situation and the base runners and where to go and how many outs and all those things. There's no daydreaming out there when you're in the infield, man.
There's no swatting at butterflies in the outfield, Dave.
Man, I tell you, they're always on it. You know, it's just they've had a couple of errors, but well, they've had 30, but the next closest team is 35 or 36.
Yeah,
so they're number one as far as least errors in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, they've done a nice job. Now, are they the best defensive team? You know, that's one area of measurement is errors. And I told you our buddy Luke Arkins sent out a tweet that I was looking for, and I forgot about it yesterday. But it was, I'll paraphrase, but I think he tweeted something along the lines of calling the Mariners the best defensive team in the league because of the fewest errors is preposterous or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Well, and I've talked about fielding percentage.
Yeah.
Is that preposterous?
He didn't have a follow-up that I saw, and in all fairness to him, he may have put it out there, and I just moved on to something else. So we'll have to get him on to talk about it and just get
his take. I'd be happy to hear that.
He's very much one of those guys who will just tweet something and just hear some stats, not offering an opinion one way or the other. In fact, he rarely offers the opinion. He'll just say, hey, here's where the Mariners rank in this category, or hey, here's a stat for Logan Gilbert, and here's where they rank, and you know, just kind of putting it out there and take it as you will. That was, I remember reading going, wow, Luke,
that's interesting.
Coming with it.
No, well, look, Luke knows what he's talking about. There's no question about that. So I'd be curious to hear, but we got to get him on anyway. It's been a while.
Yeah. He does a great job. He's a great follow on Twitter for baseball fans, for Mariner fans out there, getting deep and really deep into some of the stats out there that you're like, wait a minute, I didn't know this was a stat. I didn't know they kept track of these things, but in baseball, they keep track of everything. You guys can text in throughout the show, 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Between the Astros and the Angels, who do you dislike more as a sports fan? Which team do you hate more as a sports fan? And if Jesse Winker happened to be listening right now and you wanted to suggest a walk-up song for tonight's game or maybe one of the games, maybe the whole series against the Angels, I don't know. What song would that be? We had somebody text in yesterday. It should have been Eye of the Tiger, which I thought was kind of funny. And then we just kind of took it and ran with it. I thought that the Rocky theme would be great. And then we had people texting in today saying, you know, Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J or Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting by Elton John. What would be appropriate? I don't know if he'd do it. If anybody would do it, it would be him, I would think. But maybe like Adam Frazier said, yeah, he got enough attention from that. Maybe doesn't want any more.
I got to say, I think this only works for tomorrow night. But Saturday night's all right for fighting. That's really, or is it too on the nose, Bob? I think it'd be funny. I like that one. And, you know, he's probably, I don't know, maybe all of, I can't imagine that the pent, there's still pent up rage, you know, in the clubhouse. And it's probably just something that's totally, you know, not a thing for the players, but I feel like it needs to be for the fans, because you're playing this team 11 times. The next closest team is the A's, the rest of the season, that is. 11 times with the Angels, 9 with the Oakland A's. So, and then we mentioned 7 with the Guardians, I think, is the next highest number, which I think will be really interesting. They played Detroit 7 times as well. But 11 against the Angels, and Texas is, what, 6? But, I mean, this is a series that... And this is a team that you've got to really make some hay right now playing the Angels, because of the number of times you play them. And why not add a little bit of spice to it? Because I still, you know, think about Trout saying what he said and their coach saying what he said. And, you know, would they have 3 coaches that got kicked out? I think it was 3 coaches and an interpreter.
The interpreter, that's right.
Yeah. Then they had one guy from their bullpen who tried to get over the fence in the dugout,
landed
and he fell down and ran on his shoulder and hurt himself. That was hilarious, by the way, if you go back and watch that.
That is a pretty funny video. You don't want anybody to get hurt, even if it is an Angels or Astros player, but the visual was pretty funny.
I have to say, I actually feel sorry for that guy, because he's going to get clowned by everybody. I mean, if you put that on Twitter, like, here's his contribution to the fight, that's worse than Ryan Roland Smith getting locked in the bathroom during the fight.
Oh, Ryan. Why do you got to bring Ryan into this?
He likes it. He can joke around about it.
Oh, let's see. People saying, hit me with your best shot by Pat Benatar. Not bad.
Yeah,
not
nice.
Bad. Let's see. Matt Mercer Island says, I hate the Astros more than the Angels. Have disliked the Astros since the 70s. Since the 70s.
I like those uniforms.
They're
in the
National
70s.
League. They didn't have anything like that.
Playing in the Astrodome?
Yeah, there's something else behind those.
That where the Bad News Bears played?
Yeah, with Bob Lemon on the team. And that's back when Nolan Ryan and J.R. Richard, and that's some classic Astros out there. I didn't hate them then.
Yeah.
But now they're in the American League in the division with the Mariners.
Kung Fu fighting.
Yeah.
There we go.
Let's see.
Did you text that one in, Bob?
I did not. No, no.
Because you do kung fu.
I don't do kung fu. I love how you get such a kick out of that.
You're a good sport, Bob. You're a good sport.
Jesse Winker should use the theme song to Street Fighter. I'm not familiar with that.
I don't know that either. Is that a video game, Street Fighter?
I think is that a game or a movie? I think it's a game. Right, Lefko.
Bolt says Lefko.
Yeah,
Lefko from the younger generation.
Somebody said
of dating age.
Somebody said Final Countdown from Europe.
Oh,
yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah,
Final
I don't know that
Countdown.
One. Chop Suey by System of a Down. Nah, not bad. That one's not bad.
I like Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, and I like Mama Said Knock You Out. Those are the two leaders in the clubhouse right now.
Yeah, I still just like the Rocky theme. I just think it'd be great if he just heard that. As he's walking up.
Pretty good.
Left fielder, Jesse Winker. I think it'd be hilarious. But
Bad to the Bone.
Yeah, that's not bad. George Thorogood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotten a couple of Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot. So yeah, I
want this rivalry to be a thing. And I'm hoping, you know, so I'm gonna get a chance to sample it tomorrow night. And, you know, maybe in the evening there'll be more alcohol consumed, and it'll fuel the fire of our fans and their anger.
Here comes the boom. Who does that? Is that POD that does that, or Saliva? I'm trying to remember who does that song.
Somebody... There's a band called Saliva.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. They actually had some success there for a bit, but I can't remember who does that particular song.
So... Highway to Hell, because they're the Angels. All right.
And then others just offering up who they hate more. Between the Astros are winning that, by the way. In terms of which of these teams do you hate more as a Mariners fan, the Astros are running away with it. And a lot of people are just citing, on top of everything, the cheating thing is still just a huge deal for a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess my point on that was that everybody's mad at them.
Yeah.
For that. I mean, I'm sorry, who did they play? Was it the Dodgers that they beat in the World Series? They should be really angry.
Yeah, well, they had who was the pitcher, the Dodger pitcher that threw at him, and then he made the face as he was walking off the field, like stuck out his bottom lip. He's like, you know, yeah. Give it, and everybody loved it. I can't remember the guy's name. You got it, Lefko? You don't remember his name?
I just remember talking to Marco and him, the way he explained it, and how, you know, how for him, a guy like him, it's everything. And then again, you know, you go back and look at, like, in any sport, is there a bigger mystery than what pitch is coming? I mean, I think that it's
Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly.
Blue hair. Yeah. Oh, nice.
Just flirted
out. Do you remember him walking off the field and sticking out his bottom lip?
Yeah,
like,
pouty face.
Yeah, that was great.
But football, if you know, it's a run or a pass, whatever. Sometimes linemen will tip that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll sit light in their stance. But still, you got to go and defend it and everything. But the pitch, I mean, that's the biggest mystery there is in sports. Once you know the answer to that, you know, even if it's like, oh, well, I have their game plan, or, you know, even like the plays that they're going to run, I know every time in football, you still got to stop them. You still have to beat somebody. But the mystery of what pitch is coming, that's the one thing that's the most important and the most crucial, that, you know, the hitter doesn't know. And the way Marco explained that so passionately, I was like, okay, man, now I really get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, he's, you know, it is, I think, without question, the biggest advantage if you know what's coming as opposed to a football play, because you still, if you know, or a couple guys, everybody's got to execute on that play to take advantage of what you know, where it's just you versus the hitter. And at this level, the hitters are that good. If I know a fastball's coming, or I don't even know, did they have location? I don't know if they knew if it was going to be a fastball up, fastball low and away, or it was going to be a breaking ball, whatever. But knowing that is a massive advantage, And again, as Marco stated eloquently and perfectly, he doesn't have 97 to blow by in 98. Right. He's a location guy. And if you know where he's throwing, you know what he's got coming your way, you're going to tee off on them like it's batting practice.
Yeah, especially, you know, if you're sitting on a changeup, I would think. I mean, that's the one pitch that makes most batters look the most ridiculous. And, you know, if you know that's coming, you just sit, wait on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I don't expect the cheating thing to go away. And that's, you know, we talk about it a lot here, but if you watch, you know, Blue Jays games and you see Springer come up to the plate, it doesn't matter where they're playing. A, he gets booed because he's a good player. That's what happens. When the star's on the other team, they're going to get booed in opposing fan in ballparks across the league. But he gets it in addition because of what he was attached to. And the same is true for Carlos Correa out there with the Twins. If you watch any Twins games, if you're watching MLB Network and it happens to be Blue Jays or Twins and they're on the road, those two are getting it. They're getting it because they're attached to it. They're going to forever be attached to it. So it's not a Seattle thing. It's not a, you know, hey, we're just trying to cling to this. No, this is baseball. Baseball fans feel they were, you know, unjustly screwed out of some level of success, maybe their team, maybe seeing an honest World Series, or the fact that none of these players suffered a consequence, not a single consequence. Right. So I think that sticks with a lot of people, the fact that there wasn't a penny paid in the way of a fine, not a moment served in the way of suspension.
And then the next season,
that gets a lot of people wrong.
Next season, no crowd.
Yeah, the pandemic season.
To hassle them.
Yeah, and they still complained. At least Carlos Correa did. And Dusty Baker, too. Let's think about the children. Remember that? Oh, talking about the kids in the stands. You're like, Dusty.
It's the only thing negative I could say about Dusty.
Yeah, that was disappointing. That was the Mike Trout moment where you're like, really?
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Somebody texted in. This is a song, I think it was in Cable Guy by Filter. Hey, man, nice shot.
Yeah. And somebody else threw the Drowning Pool song out there, Bodies. Have you heard that one?
No. I haven't heard that one.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. It's a heavy song. It's popular, though, Dave.
Okay.
It's not anything you're going to hear in church, but it's a fairly popular song, which would be apropos in this. I think there's so many possibilities. You could have each member of the Mariners come up with a unique walk-up song. It doesn't even have to be just Winker.
Yeah, just say, hey, tonight, guys, the theme is fight songs.
Yeah, JP, certainly. I mean, he was involved. He got suspended, so we could alter his walk-up song as well.
Yeah, JP, he takes it personally, man. There was some news that somebody said about a former player for the Seahawks or for the Mariners, and he heard about it, and he was like, F that guy. And, you know, he could be tough.
Yeah, I respect that.
I do too.
I respect that about him.
Absolutely, he's loyal.
Do you think this is just us talking about this, and the fans, and the guys in the dugout in there, or down in the clubhouse, or not even considering?
Well,
remember last time we faced these guys, we were throwing punches.
100%, 100%.
You think they're even talking about it?
No, I don't think they are. What I'm hoping for is the fans, though.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, if you get every time Altuve comes up. I think he gets booed the loudest. Maybe it would be Correa if he's still here.
Yeah.
But Bregman really does have the punchable face.
He gets it.
He's also pretty good. So
that
makes it worse.
I think that's what made the whole cheating thing so much worse is you looked at the team, and if you're being objective, that's a really deep, talented team. Why did you need to do that?
Yeah.
Why did you feel that was necessary? You didn't have enough faith in your ability? I mean, I know you're always trying to get an advantage, but to that degree, when you're loaded the way you are, I could see if you're a team that's, man, we're right there, we're almost a playoff team, but this little extra help, we become a playoff team. That's different. I'm not excusing it by any stretch,
no.
But it just, that would make sense to me in terms of how their mind was working. With the Astros, I'm like, you guys were loaded. You guys are a very good team. That's an incredibly talented team, and you still did that?
Yeah, that's a great point, because if you look at their lineup right now, we were talking about it when they were in town. I mean, you've got several guys that are over 250, and even like sixth, seventh in the not rotation, but the lineup, you still just got mashers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't, it makes it even more perplexing why they had to cheat. Cause I feel like if they didn't even have that, they still could have won the World Series.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
a wildly talented team. I hate saying it, but it's true. It is. You call it like you see it. That's a team with loaded with talent, with pitching, with bullpen, with power. They have it all. Even with losing pieces like Springer and Correa, you're still looking at where they are. I mean, that's a good team. So it's just it makes it worry. It'd be more fun if they really were lousy.
Yeah.
I'd take so much more joy in their misery, but they don't really have any misery right now, other than all of baseball hates them.
Right. The last game they had, I think this is the last game against the Guardians. They won 6-0. The number four slot was 304 Alvarez, who hits for power. And then you got Bregman, and then Diaz hitting 251, you know, Peña hitting 255. I mean, and, you know, they were similar to that when the year that they cheated. They didn't need it.
Well, look at their productions. Look at the number of RBIs for these guys and who's hit double-digit home runs. And that is a deep lineup. They've got a great rotation. I mean, they felt so good about the rotation, they just traded away Odorizzi, who was controlling the Mariners out there. He looked really good against the Mariners. They trade him away.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a team that's got a lot to work with, and they still felt compelled to cheat. So I think that's why, you know, they're going to wear that across baseball until those guys are out of the league, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I don't think people are going to forget about that. So I have to say, it's a shame, because I'm looking at Jose Altuve, who's 283, 19 home runs,
love him.
37 RBIs. Yeah, I used to make jokes about him all the time. I'm like, yeah, of course he hits it, because when he's up to bat, it looks like a beach ball compared to him. He's so little. And then there was a pen in there in the studio that was
the bat pen.
The Mariner bat pen, and I put Jose Altuve's bat. I was just fascinated by him because he's so tiny, and yet he just produces so much power.
Yeah,
his OPS is 881. That's 12th in the league. I mean, yeah, he's top 30 as far as home runs go, but 19, it just blows me away. And you see him standing out there. There was a shot of him standing out when they were playing the Yankees at second base, and Judge was on second. And he's standing on top of the base.
6'7", so with the base, he's,
I feel like you should have patted him
6'9".
On the head. Yeah, exactly. Like,
there's
pat him on the head like,
well,
hey,
yeah,
there,
Altuve's, I think he's listed at 5'7". I have to go look. I think it's 5', which
this
means
says
he's 5'6". All right, so he's probably 5'5", then.
Probably. Yeah, and it says 166 pounds. Is that right?
Is that what it says? I don't know.
Yeah, 166
so
pounds.
So he's listed at 5'6", so we'll call him 5'5½". And he's standing next to Judge, who's standing on a base, which would put him about 6'9".
6'9", yeah. So and he's what, like 240 or whatever he is?
Yeah, I think he's more than that. That's a large
huge
human
dude.
Man. That is a big, big dude. So, all right, it just, I don't know. We'll, what are you pointing to?
Quentin Jefferson.
Oh, we got him right now?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Well, shoot.
All right, joining us now after the Seahawks have wrapped things up. You knew him before. He left for a while, and he came back. Quentin Jefferson is with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing great. I mean, what a beautiful day. I would imagine practice on a day like today is so much better than it was last week when it was 94 degrees out there.
No, definitely. You know, you got the breeze from the water. It was lovely. I'll take 77 over 90-some any day.
Yeah. Q, it's great to have you back in town. Do you like the Blue Angels, Q?
Yeah, I do. I definitely do.
They're out there flying around and making lots of noise, but we're having a hard time actually hearing right now. But it's good to have you back, man. And tell us about your role and when they brought you in. I mean, you're a bigger guy. They're kind of going to like a 3-4. What's going to be sort of the difference for you on this team and a little bit on this defense, how it's changed since the last time you were here?
You know, last time I was here, we played more of a kind of like a hybrid. But so I'm used to playing like a 4 technique in a 3-4. So that's why we'll be playing on base downs. And then nickel is kind of what I've been doing, you know, just playing 3 technique. And that's where I've been having a lot of success, especially last season. So, I mean, I feel like it just gives me opportunities to make plays.
How different was it coming back? Because so many of the mainstays that were here when you were here, whether it was Russ or Bobby or KJ or, you know, all those guys are gone. Did it feel like, yeah, this is home, but a lot of the people that live in this house, I don't know.
No, it definitely felt that way. You know, said a lot of guys who, you know, I kind of grew up with when I came into the league and were kind of like my mentors or who I looked to, yeah, are kind of gone. And now a lot of guys are looking to me. You know, when I left, I was a young guy. I came back. Now I'm a veteran. You know, but again, you got a lot of young energy, hungry guys, and I mean, I'm excited for this opportunity, even the opportunity for a lot of young guys to make a name for themselves.
Hey, Quentin, you know, one of my favorite players of all time is Bruce Smith. He was a defensive line. I don't think his sack total will ever get broken. It's 200, but yeah. Who was a guy that you watched when you were coming up that you kind of wanted to either model your game after or just like to watch?
I'll have to say was Mike B, you know, coming out, we had the same body type. So it was literally one of the guys I emulated. And it just so happens, I got to come here and actually play with them as well as Jarrell Casey, you know, just big athletic guys who can move and play multiple positions. So those are the guys I really, really looked up to coming out.
Yeah. So how does this team look to you? You know, I was looking at some of the power rankings, and those are more just, you know, those get put out by CBS and NFL Network for debate and whatever. But there's not a lot of optimism nationally about this team. Do you feel like people are kind of looking past something that could be good?
Yeah, you always look past something you don't know. You know, it's a lot of people don't know because there's a lot of new faces. But with that, it gives us a lot of opportunities to come again. You got guys going to have opportunities to actually show the world what we can do. And I'm excited. You know, like I say, you got a lot of young, hungry dudes out here working their butts off every day to get better. And I think we're going to shock a lot of people.
Hey, Quentin, you know, I'm looking at the roster and, like, you know, most years over the last 8 or 10, you know, almost everybody, but lots of young guys. And so for you being the veteran, who are some of the young guys that that maybe we haven't heard about that that we should watch out for?
I'll definitely say LJ, still a younger guy, but I mean, just when I left him, even seeing him now, he's just getting better every single day. Miles on the defensive line as well is a great young guy. With given the opportunity, I think he can make a lot of plays. You know, you got DT. This is my first year playing with him. He's a young guy flying off the edge. Kobe out there making plays. I mean, again, like even all our draft picks, then they're coming in and making impact early. So I'm excited for preseason and hopefully some of these guys get to play in the regular season. So I mean, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, and now did you have Clint Hurt as your D line coach before you left?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
we did.
Okay, tell us a little bit about him as D coordinator, and then there's a couple of new guys, Sean Desai and Carl Scott, who I'm just incredibly impressed by. It just seems like those guys know defenses. I mean, they're fairly young guys to me, anyway, and they know a lot, man. It's what's the difference there, and anything stand out about the coaching staff?
Like you said, this is a lot of knowledge. You know, a lot of knowledge. I said with this young team, like it's just a blessing. We have coaches with so much knowledge, so much experience in the NFL, who again are just putting us in position to be successful. you know, Coach Hurt, you know, I had him as a D-line coach, and he's one of the most intelligent coaches I ever had in my life. So I wasn't surprised when he made the move to D.C. And, again, like, he knows so much. He knows how defenses want to attack us. I mean, offenses want to attack us and knows how to put us in position to go make plays. And then you got Coach Psy out there. You know, he was the D.C. So we got two D.C.s in our room.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
and
right.
That's just, again, just, so much knowledge, you know. And then K-Scott, you know, he's out there coaching them young guys up. And you see it. They're out there. I've never seen this many PBUs in the camp. I don't think ever. You know, they're out there jacking the ball, making plays on the ball. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm super excited.
Quentin, how different are you as a player from the guy that fans knew here before? You left for a while, you come back. What's different about your game? Do you feel like you've just gotten better, you're smarter, you're stronger? What's the change, if any?
I think I've definitely gotten better. I think that just comes with growth and just playing. And, I mean, I definitely slimmed down some since last time I was here, and I'm feeling even faster. You know, last year I was flying around, and I'm feeling even faster this year. And like I said, just coming with a more wealth of knowledge, especially my rush. I'm really coming into myself. I know who I am as a rusher and what I can do out there to make plays and just being consistent. I'm way more consistent now, too, as well. So, I mean, I'm just excited to have this opportunity and, again, go do it in a blue uniform.
Hey, Quentin, so is there anybody left? I'm trying to think of the year that you left and you come back, and who are some of the guys I'm trying to remember that are still here that from the last time you were here?
Tyler Lockett.
I guess Lockett?
Yeah, Lockett, yeah. DK, Puna, LJ, Monet, Big Al,
yeah.
On the opposite side. Fuller was here when I was here.
I guess my point is, man, lots of changes. I mean, since
lots of changes, and those guys were young guys when I left, and now they're like vets, you know, and they've done stuff in this league. So, I mean, yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited for this new chapter in Seahawks football.
Is there a different appreciation? We've talked to guys that have been in other situations and then come to Seattle and they see the facility there on the water, and you'd already been here, so you knew what you were getting into. But when you leave it and then come back, is there a different level of appreciation for just, you know, what the team provides and just the environment?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, it's a top-notch organization, top to bottom. You know, you have people, great people who really care about you on and off the field. You know, you have everything at your service. You know, we're spoiled. You know, it's one of those things coming here, you can't take that for granted. You know, any chance I get, I tell everybody thank you and try to show my appreciation, because like I said, this is one of a kind.
All right, Quentin, 4.5 sacks last year with the Raiders. You had 3 in Buffalo. What's your goal this year for sacks? Do you even do that?
Obviously, you always want to get 10 plus, but honestly, I'm out there trying to be the best teammate I possibly can, and I'm trying to contribute anyway. You know, you want to get sacks, but ultimately, it's about winning. So anything I can do to contribute to help my team win, whether that's taking a double team with a thankless job, or if that's, you know, picking a guy so my end can come out and come free and get a sack, you know, I'm trying to win and bring Seahawks back to the playoffs and win some games.
Well, I'll tell you what, being a former linebacker, I really appreciate you taking on those double teams, Quentin. Really appreciate you.
Hey, I'll leave it with this. We just had somebody text in. It says, my mom works out at the same gym as Quentin. She's a serious athlete, even though she's older, and she has said he's really nice to her. So thank you, Quentin.
Of course he is.
Thank you for that.
He's a nice guy. Yeah.
Hey, well, we're glad to have you back in Seattle. So just, you know, I know you've been here for a bit, but let's give you the official welcome back. I know fans will be excited about it as well. And we look forward to seeing you out there on the field and talking to you again down the road. Thanks so much, man.
I appreciate you guys for having me, and definitely look forward to talking down the road.
All right. Thanks.
There you go. There's Quentin Jefferson back in a Seahawks uniform where he belongs. Coming up, Ty France is back in the Mariners lineup. In fact, I saw him out there taking ground balls on his knees from Perry Hill out there. Yep. So he's getting in some work. That is great news. We'll take a look at the series opener coming up next. It's Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Just another gorgeous day out here at T-Mobile Park. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Not too hot, not cold, not a cloud in the sky. You got the Blue Angels flying overhead, and more importantly, you got Ty France out there on the field who'll be back in the lineup tonight. Mariners definitely could use them when they start their series, a four-game series starting tonight against the Angels. Robbie Ray taking the hill. You can catch it all right here starting at 6 o'clock with the pregame, 7:10 first pitch. And we'll see how much heat still exists between these two teams. The first meeting since they were last seen rolling around in the dirt, fisticuffs happening last time. We'll see if there's any carryover this time. But certainly we'll get deeper into this matchup as we continue live from T-Mobile Park. It is Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Man, why?
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
He's a habitual line stepper.
What were you thinking? What are you doing?
Why are you the way that you are?
It's the Why Man of the Week.
Why Man is presented by Mazda of Everett. And again, just a segment that really just produces itself each and every week.
Is it going to be, why do you have black plastic all over the side of your face?
No, because we know the answer to that. Your headphones are shedding.
I was just giving a hard time to Lefko. Lefko, there's all this black stuff on the side of your face. And now he's got it on his by his nose there. It's everywhere.
No, that's a mole.
And then it was me. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I've never noticed that before. You got a mole, Mike.
Oh, no.
Did you ever see Pineapple Express?
Yes. I don't know if I remember it clearly.
There's a scene where there's something happened in the old folks' home, and the cop is interviewing the old lady, and she goes, "You got something on your face." She's rubbing his face. She's going, that's a mole, man. Oh. Anyway, all right. Submission number one comes from a man that everybody loves to hate, Aaron Rodgers, who's just – he's on his own journey, Dave. He's just he's searching for enlightenment. He's getting in touch with his inner self. His third eye has been squeegeed clean. I don't know what you say to about him or what he's got going. It seems to be working. He's got back-to-back MVPs under his belt, still considered one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the league.
And just before you throw it to it, I just have to say that this is saying a lot. This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard from a football player.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And I've heard lots of weird stuff.
I swear it sounds like he's reading dialogue from a movie, playing the part of the goofy guy who's just on this, you know, he's just drugged out and just at peace with the world, looking for harmony, inner harmony, man. But here's Aaron Rodgers in cut number one, just wanting to have self-exploration, I guess.
I want to feel what pure love feels like. That was my intention. I had a magical experience with the sensation of feeling 100 different hands on my body imparting a blessing of love and forgiveness for myself and gratitude for this life from what seemed to be my ancestors. I really feel like that set me on my course to be able to go back in to my job and have a different perspective on things and in the to be way more free at work. I really feel like that experience paved the way for me to have the best season of my career.
Does it make people dislike him more, or is it just confuse you? Or
I'm just confused.
Yeah. I mean, he's peaceful. He seems very peaceful. He's not an angry guy. He's not railing. He's not lashing out at the establishment. He's just kind of, he's on his own journey, man. He's just we'll see what he looks like this year. He's got the long hair. See what he looks like out there on the field. He's got his new girlfriend who's got an interesting name that I can't remember. It's a whole new him, like thanks to ayahuasca.
Blue Moon. Is that her name?
If only she's named after a beer.
That's the beer I drink. Never mind.
Blue something.
Yeah.
It's fun not knowing. We could easily look it up, but it's fun just making up.
Yeah,
something
let's make up names. Text it in. What's the funniest Aaron Rodgers girlfriend name? How about that?
Yeah,
we got walk-up songs, yo, and we got this. But, yeah, I don't know what to think, man. I mean, he's not being a cocky jerk.
Yeah, he's kind of peaceful, mellow.
The other thing about it,
he's serene, dude.
He's not, like, lecturing anyone or, you know, saying, like, look how smart I am, right?
Yeah.
He's not.
No, it wasn't. He's been that in the past, certainly.
Sure.
He's been very obnoxious. This is more just It just seems sort of like, hey, man, I'm on my journey of self-exploration, and I've got total inner peace and harmony. And
yeah.
And
it's and weird and confusing.
Yeah, it's interesting. But
you can't really hate him after that.
Not that. Just more confused. More just, like I said, it seems like a movie dialogue from a character. But
I know what my dad would say.
What would you say?
Maybe yours, too. He's a hippie. But I don't get that. That's really, really interesting. Anyway, hey, how come you don't have headphones that are shedding pieces of black plastic?
I'm just wearing the ones that Lefko gave me. I don't know.
Because you're running the show, I guess.
I got lucky out of the three.
I said that
at these now
to Lefko a couple of times. He's like, you know, why are you doing that? I go, because my name's on the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Keep him in check. Keep him humble.
Keep Lefko in check.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
He's running all over me.
Keep him humble.
Yeah.
Dave.
You've got to keep him humble. I'm not talking about it being an animal or anything.
Somebody from the other side.
Every once in a while.
Okay. Our Pope of Greenwich Village contribution to the show there for the day. Number two comes from an old stalwart here, a man who's no stranger to this segment, Colin Cowherd. Saying that the Broncos will be fine after Tim Patrick, their leading receiver, I believe, from last year, he tore his ACL, which is brutal. But I guess in this cut implies that Russ made all of the Seahawks wide receivers good.
This is why you pay Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Matt Stafford. Their job is to carry a team through injuries and obstacles and elevate everybody around them. Doug Baldwin was undrafted out of Stanford and became a household name. TJ Lockett was a small third-round gadget guy. DK Metcalf dropped in the draft because he didn't run routes. They said he was just a body. Will Disley was a blocking tight end at Washington in the Pac-12. He became productive. They will be just fine.
Who's okay. TJ Lockett?
TJ Lockett, no. The other thing is he's just entirely in the pocket, and this isn't anti-Russ, but his agent is like Colin Cowherd's number one pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Rogers, just constantly. By the way, Adam Jude wrote a really good from the Seattle Times, wrote a really good, I sent it to you guys, a little article on Will Disley. Will Disley is much admired around the NFL. He could have gotten more money somewhere else. I mean, that contract that he had.
I think.
If you read the article, it sounded to me there was Tampa and who was the other team that were, well, I know Denver. Russ really wanted him. He's incredibly talented. I'm telling you.
Oh, I don't debate that. I just, man, he was so underutilized, and I don't.
Yeah.
The idea that he could have gotten more than that elsewhere is surprising to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the story that he wrote, yeah. You know, I mean, it made it sound like basically that he was, you know, there was a number that he settled on to stay here in Seattle. So, and you know, look, it might have been a half a million more or whatever. And he's like, of course, I'm going to stay in Seattle. But he was much desired. And, you know, it says in there that at one point Disley, and I'm not trying to make it all about him, but Disley came to his agent with a number that he would be at peace with, and then that's what they end up settling on. So I'm not the only one that has, you know, I think I had him top five last year as far as the player ranking as yeah. far as best football players. He's been underutilized and he has been hurt.
Well, so. But that's the one area I would say Colin was right, because when he did get drafted, it was about him being the best blocking tight end in that draft that year. That was the thought behind him. So I'll give him credit for being accurate on how he was perceived coming into the league out of the draft. That was the tag on him.
Yeah, but I don't think Russell made him better. I don't think
he'd made him anything. They didn't throw the ball to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm arguing is that, you know, he's trying to say, oh, Russell made him better. He made Doug Baldwin better. He made T.J. Lockett better.
I love T.J. Lockett. His brother Tyler is a lot better, but T.J.'s he's got a future too.
Yeah. So
I mean, if you're gonna say things like that, you should probably get the name right at least. And then the D.K. Metcalf thing is probably about 90% wrong, because the knock on him was his durability and his the fear that he wouldn't be able to play at this level because of his neck injury, and people didn't want to risk that pick on a guy who may not be able to play. We've seen how, you know, fragile it can be when you're talking about a neck injury. It was decidedly less about running routes I don't know that I ever heard that more than once or twice. It was all physical. It was all about, hey, we don't want to spend a first-round pick on a guy that's not going to be able to get out there.
Well, the other thing about running routes, I mean, yeah, you don't run as good of routes in college. They're not as precise.
Yeah.
You know, and the way he would line up, like with his hands on his knees and everything. But that's the case with every receiver.
Yeah.
In college that moves on to the NFL.
Yeah. Attaboy, Colin. Screwed it up again. All right.
Nice to have him back on Y-Man or whatever. What's bugging Bob?
He just bugs everybody. All right. Coming up, we found out why Mike Trout isn't playing tonight. He joins us next. Sort of. Adam Ray will join us and explain why Mike Trout, what's going on with him. Our buddy Adam Ray is coming up with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.